Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing that you are in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless your word, bless us as your people. Speak to us, Lord, and draw us closer to you and empower our lives to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Bless tonight, Lord. Build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply Joy in God Through Our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to have joy in the Lord. Amen? And that sometimes needs to be explained. A lot of times people don't understand what God means. I will tell you, I didn't understand, and still I don't understand everything there is to know about the joy of the Lord. But I do know this, it's true, it's real, and God wants us to enjoy that. So we want to look at three thoughts this evening. God's peace explained in our relationship with him, God's rejoicing explained in our relationship with him, and God's justification explained in our relationship with him. So back up with me, if you would, to verse 1, and let's look at God's peace explained. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," and we want to, every time you see that word faith, you can interchange that with the word trust, because that's what it is. Otherwise, it becomes some kind of an invisible, mystical thing that we can't put our hand on it, right? It's simply just trusting in what God has said in his word. And God brings us to that place for salvation. So he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," notice what he says, we have what? Peace with God. By faith, by trusting in the Lord, he gives us peace. Now, what we have to realize about that is he's not finished at the point of salvation. The ball is just getting rolling. Amen? Everything is just beginning right there. And as we trust in the Lord and what he has promised, he brings these things. He says, "So be it unto you according to your faith," right? According to your trust in the Lord, he brings these things out. So he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," or trust, "we have peace with God," notice the vehicle, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so everything comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the preeminent above everything else. Colossians chapter 2 brings that out. Then notice this. I want you to see God's rejoicing explained, and it begins here in verse 2. It says, "By whom also we have access..." Right, so if you have access, that means a door has been opened for you. But that door is through faith. Amen? So God says to the believer, you have access to this, but the handle on that door is trust. Amen? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, "By whom also we have access by faith," by trusting the Lord, how? "Into this grace." God says, so listen, you've been granted the grace, you've been given all the promises of God, but now we just put faith or trust. Lord, you have given this to me, and I have possession. We don't have to ask the Lord for those things. He's already given that to us in salvation. So listen, so if a person says, "Lord, I know you died for me." Now think about this real clearly. I know that you died for me. That knowledge doesn't give them salvation. This does, ready? "Lord, I thank you that you saved my soul." Amen? That's a whole different ballgame. "I know that you died for me" is one thing. A lot of lost people know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, but they personally did not say, "Lord, you died for me. And I know that you've given to me already eternal life. I'm praising you now because of what you've already done." But it's not in the future. It's in the present when we take hold of it for ourselves. Likewise, also, the promises to the child of God are also taken by faith in what God has said. So listen, here's the problem. If there are promises in the Word of God that we have not attained yet, because God has already given them to us,
And so he's already granted them. It's because we are not putting our trust that he's already given that to us. So we're not asking, oh Lord, die for my sins. He's already done that. Lord, redeem me for your honor and glory. That's already his will. All these things are yea with the Lord. And so notice again, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now here's the question. Why is the Apostle Paul, if this is automatic, why is the Apostle Paul saying this to the believers at Rome? Because they need to understand this and be reminded of how we have access into the grace of God. Question, is it God's will that all of his children have his grace? Yes. Absolutely, right? It's absolutely God's will. Is it God's will that we walk and live in the grace of God? Absolutely. So Paul is saying, I want you to know how you enter into that grace and how you stay into that grace and walk in that grace. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us access. So again, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein, notice this, we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Did you see that? Listen, we stand in the glory of God, in the grace of God that wants to do all this work in our lives. And you're going to find this quite interesting here as we move forward here and how this rejoicing is explained. Because the way that the world rejoices, how many of you know this, is not the way God rejoices. No. The world that does not know Jesus Christ rejoices in temporal things and are moved all by the exteriors, all by things that are just very temporal, shallow, really. They have no eternal bearing. But the things that have a greater value are the things that come from God that are eternal, that the world doesn't even see and doesn't understand, but not so for the child of God. We've been given access into these things. So notice this, verse 3. Not only so, in fact, let's put 2 and 3 together. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? How does that work? Have you ever stopped to say, really? Lord, I want to glory in tribulations. Now, there is a truth to that, but that does not make sense to the natural man. So how do we glory in tribulation? Well, the reason why we glory in tribulation, because we realize the work that tribulation is doing. First of all, we cannot experience the grace of God until the old man is done away with, until the old man is crucified. And by the way, he has been crucified the same day. Listen, remember the two thieves on the cross? They died with the Lord. Amen? At the same time. You and I were crucified on the same cross with Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. You've been crucified with Christ. Amen? And so, and also listen, and because he rose again, we also have a new life. So there's a big difference there in what we have in Christ. And even those two thieves that were right next to him, and one got saved, amen? But listen, God wants us to know that it's all in Christ. And so therefore, the old man has to be crucified, and that's already taken place. And so that thinking, Lord, help me to understand that when you bring a trial or when you bring a tribulation, you are doing your work in my life. See, the natural man doesn't understand that. Lord, I want you to do your work because it glorifies your Son. It helps me understand what you're trying to do in my life and how you work in my life. And so listen, God will not share his glory with anybody. But listen to this, he will glorify himself in the life of his children. And when God glorifies himself in the life of his children are blessed beyond measure. So there are many, there's a book called Mirrors Martyrs, and it's like a dictionary. I mean, it's a big book of the account of all the first century and even the apostles, how they died for the Lord, and also throughout the first century. And you may have heard this before, but there were many of them that were burned at the stake that were singing praises unto the name of God while they were on fire. That is not natural. And listen, that is something that only God could do through his people. Now, listen, that tribulation and that trial specifically to those believers in the Lord Jesus Christ did bring honor and glory, because a lot of people looked and said, how in the world can they do that? Well, it was God in them. There was no doubt that there was the witness of God working in their lives through this horrific situation that they were in. And so likewise, listen, that is an individual who has yielded and who has been taught by the Lord that he is made strong in our weakness. Remember the Apostle Paul, he wanted the thorn removed. Three times he prayed, Lord, but then what did the Lord tell him? It is through your weakness that I am made strong. Oh, listen, that is not an easy lesson to yield to. God will teach it to us, but we have to trust him. And listen, is God worthy of our trust?
Yeah.
Amen. Why? I'm speaking for myself. I don't want that to hurt. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to go through that. But God says, I will be right there with you, taking you every step of the way in a way that you could have never imagined, in a way that would honor and glorify me and give you a peace and a joy that will be a testimony to my name and will honor and glorify me, and it will point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a privilege for the child of God to bring more people unto God for salvation. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen in our lives, because that has eternal value. That has eternal weight. Nobody's going to care about who won the Super Bowl in heaven. I'm sorry, nobody's going to care about, what do they call it, the basketball playoffs, right? Nobody's going to care about who won the golf tournament. Nobody's going to care. And those things in and of themselves, it's not wrong to enjoy those things. But my goodness, we pay them. The spectators, because of everybody's drawn to that, these people make millions of dollars. And it seems like we've got the value kind of upside down on what really has a greater value, a greater weight when we talk about eternal things. And so what I'm trying to say is the things of this world, as the Bible says, are passing away. And what's really going to amount to be of the greatest value is what was done for the glory of God.
Amen.
And what God did, listen, what God wants to do through the life of his people. And listen, I don't know why. God could have done it any way he wanted to, but he chose to glorify himself through your life and mine. And that's a privilege, because the more we yield to the Lord and the more we allow him and seek him to use us in that fashion, the more we experience God in our own personal life. And that causes us to walk through this world going, what a Savior is Jesus my Lord. Amen? So notice this. He says, verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Did you see that? You don't have to ask for patience. You have to trust that, Lord, you're in this tribulation. Listen, that's not something you can sit down, because I've done it. You can sit down, okay, today, Lord, I want to let you do my work. I want to let you do your work. They already said my work. I want to let you do your work in my life. And I blew it. Well, how do you mean by that? Well, because a tribulation, a trial came up and I got all put out of shape.
Yeah.
Amen? I got all put out. And I thought, but here's what happened. Listen, I used to not even see it. I used to say, well, you know what they did to me, my golly. And I would find somebody, you're right, they shouldn't have done that to you. And I'm, you're right, I'm right, you know. You can find people to agree with you, but we'll miss God altogether. And then finally I thought, wait a minute, Lord, that's not what you want to do. It's not about my life and what I think and what I feel. It's about you. Oh, listen, that's a whole other way to look at life. And so I have to still, Lord, help me to see you every day working in my life, that I might be yielded, knowing that you can glorify yourself through me, through every difficult situation that comes in. You are at work. When you get misused, abused, however you want, when somebody slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other one. will not do that in our power. Will not know to do that in our power. The natural inclination is, you know, by golly, who do you think you are? That's what we think. That's us. God says, and when he gets a hold of our thinking, we say, no, wait a minute. This is it. This is the work of God in the life of his people, that we see him in this. Oh, we want the laying on of hands and the healing and the walking on the water. No, wait a minute. That comes with it. The presence of God and the grace and the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, but it comes through tribulation, and it comes through the believer realizing and backing up and stopping and saying, okay, God, I want you to do your work. I see it now. I see it. So this is a little bit of an experience personally, and I'm not anybody who's even come close to arriving, okay? But I just want you to know, it took a while, and it's still, I'm telling you, it's the same thing is true. I can walk out of these church doors and fall flat on my face. But oh God, that I might see that through every difficult thing, you're at work. Question. This is God's people in God's house, right? Do God's people, our congregation, want God to work in their lives? Really? Do God's people in Northwood Baptist Church want God, see it's a little different now, want God to work in their lives? Amen. God's not going to let you sink. Amen? God's not going to let you fall. And he's going to show you something that you will never see unless God brings you to it. Listen, it's not a lesson that you can learn here in the classroom. It's a lesson and an experience that God brings you through. Listen, we can know about it, but it means nothing until God brings us through it. All right? So watch this. Ready? Verse 3 again, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. That's why. Why can you glory in tribulation? Because God is working in our lives when that is taking place. And it requires faith. Wait, it requires trust to believe that God holds us in his hands in those difficult times. If not, then we're just like the world. We're going to be downcast. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to be dismayed. We're going to wonder about all these things if we don't believe that God holds us in his hands and will bring us through these things for his honor and glory and for our understanding of the power of God working in our lives. So watch this here. Ready? Verse 3 again, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now watch this. What does that mean? Tribulation worketh patience. You've got to stop. You've got to hold on a second now. See, the moment a tribulation comes in, you've got to learn to just be still. Oh no, that's not what we want to do. We want to get out of that pan, don't we? And right into the fire. That's what we want to do. We have to stop and say, okay, God is working here. Did I make that up, or did it say we glory? He says, the word of God says we glory through tribulation because tribulation brings patience. And so what that mean? What does it mean to be patient? Waiting. What does it mean to be patient? Be still. Don't react. Just wait God, and trust that God is working. Now watch this. And patience what? In verse 4. What does that mean? Experience. You have seen and you have proved God. But you have to approach it from this perspective. Lord, I believe that you're in my trials. I believe that every trial, and is, let me just say something here. That's easy to say. It's a whole different ballgame to say, Lord, help me to understand that. And it's not something that we go through pridefully. We have to walk humbly with the Lord. Lord, because the truth is, I don't like trials. Do you? But if I know that God is in the trial, and I say, okay, God, this is one of the... And listen, every time you have a trial in your life, whatever it is, God is trying to crucify the old man that the spirit might come forth. God is trying to break the outer man, the shell of the outer man, that the inner man... That the Holy Spirit that is now joined to your quickened spirit, that's the inner man, the new man, can come out. And listen, listen. When the new man, which is the Holy Spirit, that is tied in with your new spirit that's been quickened and made alive, when that spirit comes out and communicates and touches and talks to people, that is the power of God. That is the work of God. And when he's released, conviction comes. And souls are saved. Listen, do you think really we're going to save people by just reading the Bible to them and telling them stories without the Holy Spirit? Will never happen. Salvation is a work of God by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that God wants to use is the one that he gave you. And, by the way, he also wants to awe us in how he brings us through those trials and tribulations. Did not the Lord appear unto Paul and says, "Don't worry, I'm with you, Paul. And just as you witness for me here, you'll be a witness to me everywhere I send you." So watch this. Ready? Verse 4, "And patience, experience, and experience, hope." Listen, experience gives hope. And how? Because experience teaches me God's been faithful here. He's been faithful here. You know what? God's always faithful. Would Paul ever say there was a time when God was unfaithful to him? And question, did Paul have an easy life?
No.
And in fact, listen, he says, I am dead to the world, but alive to Christ. Why did he say that? Because that is the only way that the life of Christ can come forth through the life of the believer. Paul was teaching us the way of Christ. The Word of God is trying to teach us to walk so that the Spirit of God can come out and do His work and bless His people and encourage His people in the things of God, and not to get our eyes on the things that are passing away, and to realize that yes, to offer myself as a living sacrifice is my reasonable service. And it's a privilege. Because you know what happens in that? We're not like the world. We have a joy that's unspeakable that the world doesn't know anything about. Why? Listen, would you agree with me? I would dare say that Paul was the happiest person on planet Earth in his day. And he was the most persecuted. How? Only God. Only God. Listen, watch this. So, patience in our trials, in our tribulation, brings experience, and experience hope. Verse 5, and hope, listen to this, maketh not ashamed. Why? What's that hope? Because I have a hope, not a hope-so, but a no-so hope, that God is going to be there every time through my trial. And God is going to do something that I cannot do in my power. Now watch this. With that thought, hope, that kind of hope in verse 5, maketh not ashamed. Why? Listen to this. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Paul's, he's talking to believers. He's saying even in this day and age, this is how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So watch this again. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By the what? That's the new man inside with your quickened spirit. In our hearts. Where's the Holy Spirit? In our hearts. Which, notice this, is given unto us. Do you know that Paul is saying, I want you to know something. We are a most privileged people. Who am I, Lord, that you would house yourself in my life? Who am I that you would do that? Oh, listen, for us to come into contact with God in this way is a life-changing experience. And if we're not careful as believers, we have the potential to completely miss it for the things that are passing away. And God is saying, don't miss it. Because this causes us not to be ashamed, because this causes us to experience the love of God that will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. So, this is God's rejoicing explained in tribulation. In tribulation. So, did you just see that? Did I make that up or was that in God's Word? Okay, so here it is. Ready? If you're not rejoicing in tribulation, could it be that you're not seeing God's work and you're just seeing the tribulation? Can't get past the tribulation. Can't see the invisible hand of God. It's there that is doing a work in our lives. That requires trust, faith. In what? In God. And God is wanting us to walk in that. Last thought. God's justification explained. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, you remember that? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Ungodly, without God. No righteousness, not even whatever you thought was good that would God take at. To God, everything we had was ungodly, without God. We were without God. So even our good deeds were ungodly because we were without God. The only thing that makes anything that we do godly is who? Easy enough, isn't it? God. So he says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or gave his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we weren't even good. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And if you ask me why, I don't know. Can you tell me why? I have no idea why Christ died for me, an ungodly individual. He died for me. He died for us. And he said, I'm not just saving you. I'm going to use you as a vessel for my honor and glory. I want to give you an experience that the world will never understand. I want to give you a reality of the power of God that will change your view, but it requires faith. But it requires trust. We have to trust the Lord in this. Now, see, I put my faith in Christ for salvation, but how about do we trust Christ through the trials and tribulations? Are we willing? See, that's different. See, that's a daily thing. Lord, do you see Christ when your world is flipped upside down? That's easy preaching. I'll tell you that all day long. But when your world gets flipped upside down, where are you going to go? The world doesn't have the answers. You don't have the answers. There's only one person that has the answer, and that's God. And so God wants us to look to Him. God wants us to trust Him in the little things so that He can show us great and mighty things. Amen? So watch this. But God, verse 8, commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood. Much more. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And He's talking to saved people. We're not talking about the judgment of God. We're talking about the wrath of all the things that will come into this world and all the experiences. God says, I'm going to take you through all of those difficulties, and you're not even going to experience the judgment of God, but you may experience the wrath of man. You might experience the unkindness and, by the way, the hatred of the world towards the people of God. But God says, I'm going to bring you through all of that. And listen, would you say that would be a fiery trial? I would say that would be a fiery trial. Did the three Hebrew children burn? No. And by the way, listen, do you think God would want us to fail? If we testify of the grace of God and of the power of God, and if we take God at His word, He will never let us down. Notice this. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Do you remember that? Listen, Christ died for us while we were His enemies. I didn't say that. God did. God said, I am dying for... By the way, everybody on planet Earth was His enemy. Who has ever lived and whoever will live was it because of sin. But God so loved the world that He gave His Son. What was the purpose of that? To raise up a royal priesthood. That's what the Bible teaches us, to raise up a testimony to the glory of God in our lives. When we as God's people take a handle of that, we'll look at life differently. Lord, you have picked me to work through. And all I have to do is trust you. And then I get to see you do something that I could never do. So he says, verse 10, for if when we were the enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved. Listen, by what? By his life. Listen, his life in us. Didn't Jesus say, I'm in you and you're in me and I'm in the Father and we're all in this together. It's a win-win situation for the believer. And last thought, and not only so, listen, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know how we have joy in God, it's through Jesus Christ. But it's in, listen, the joy of God comes through experience, comes through tribulation, comes through patience, comes through experience. We have to allow God, we have to take, listen, we kick and scream if we're not, that's our natural tendency. You ever seen those kids getting dragged out of the store? Kicking and screaming. I don't want to go to heaven that way. Amen? I don't want to go to heaven that way. Every time a trial comes in, I'm kicking and complaining and screaming. God says, trust me. Trust me. He's there. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's where the rubber meets the road. When the trial comes in, and listen, we grow when we can see Christ in that. And I will give you this indicator here. Ask God, Lord, let me see you in the difficulties, in the trials, in these tribulations. Let me understand that you're working in my life for your glory, and you rightly deserve it, and you're using me. Oh, what a privilege that you would glorify yourself in me. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Isn't that good?
Amen.
God says, you have that. You don't have to do it. It's been given to you in salvation. Now you just have to say, God, let me see you in those trials because you're doing a work. Every time, and I hope, listen, you know how this message works? If you will ask God, let me see you every time things don't go my way. And let me thank you every day that I have another breath and another opportunity to walk with you. Isn't that the greatest privilege? That I might walk with my Creator and my Redeemer. Tonight, God wants us to joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation and an opportunity to call upon Him, to allow Him to do the work He wants to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation that you've given to us, and then not only that you saved us, but then you want to work in us and through us for your honor and glory. What a blessing. Lord, may you open our eyes that we might see the work that you're wanting to do in and through our lives, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we would stand before you unashamed and Lord, grateful and humbled by your great grace. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.